Okay, good morning everyone. Today's shir is sponsored for a shidduch for a Nami Esther Bas Shoshana Shafrina Sprinza. Oh, that's a tzaddik. Okay, Sprinza, sorry. And Golda Liba Bas Esther Rachel. Also Refu Shlema for Chanatova Bas Esther Shoshana. And was just informed there was a pigua this morning in Eretz Yisrael, and a father was killed, a father of five children, Neshama Shav and Aliyah, and Hashem should protect the family and all of Klal Yisrael. Yeah, memory full. Okay, so last week we left off that I promised, I said Blin Neder, as far as finding out brachos to certain foods. I said I would try to reach Rabbi Belsky. I've tried many times. Called his Gabbai, I tried to get his phone number, no one wants to give me his phone number, and I got the Gabbai's phone number, I called a couple times, left a message. Last Tuesday night, that night, after the tefillah share, so I had a quiet room, so I called Rabbi Bandner. I usually called him in the morning, then they told him, told me to call back after 8, I called back after 8, call back after 9, so I called back at 9:30, and I asked him the four questions, the four foods that I promised to find out. So I asked him about wraps, and he told me that Rabbi Yashiv says that wraps are mizonos. And he said the Rabbi Yashiv holds not only are wraps mizonos, but that it doesn't have a teresa denama, something that we discussed last week. And we said, and meaning that even if a person would eat a lot of wraps and they would have a lot of tuna and egg salad inside of it, it would still remain mizonos. What? I'm not finished. He says because it's thin and it's very, very thin. It doesn't have a teresa denama whatsoever. I'm not finished about the wraps. We'll get there in a second. But that's what he told me in the name of Rabbi Yashiv, that wraps are mizonos. Also, the hot pretzels. He says he thinks that those would be mizonos. He says he doesn't think people are kaveya suda on it. He thinks it would be a mizonos. And again, keep in mind the halachas we learned 2 weeks ago, that even if something is mizonos, if it has a teresa denama, which hot pretzels do, if a person eats a certain amount, and we discussed how much, one opinion is 8 kazayas, second opinion is what's normal to eat during a bread meal, then it would turn into a hamotzi. But as far as if a person eats one hot pretzel, Rabbi Bandner said he would think it would be mizonos. I asked him about deli roll. He thinks also deli roll would be a mizonos. He says it's a very flaky dough, and he said it's not a substitute for bread whatsoever. He said a flaky type of dough you wouldn't put on a plate, you know, at the beginning of a Sheva Bracho, so maybe a deli roll you would, but as far as the flaky dough is concerned, he thinks that would also be mizonos. And as far as the cinnamon bread, I asked him, I tried to explain to him the cinnamon bread in Passaic, and he said, listen, I don't know, but I don't know what it looks like exactly, but he said it would depend on if people are koveya suda on it generally, not if you personally, I asked him that explicitly, not if you personally are koveya suda. Are people, do people eat it as a snack or do people eat it as a meal, which we said the past two shiurim many, 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 many times that that's what it depends on. If in general people are not your type of person, that's as far as koveya suda. But if in general, is it a meal food or is it a snack food? He said, I don't know what that bread is. I don't know exactly. That he wasn't able to answer. Once we were on the topic of pizza came up, and just to add him to the list that we spoke last week, he said pizza, one slice of pizza is hamotzi, and he said even less than one slice of pizza is hamotzi, which we said for many, many, many other paiskim. We did not quote anybody that said it's mizonos, except for Rav Moshe Feinstein, which was a very long time ago, that the paiskim say that has switched. Rabbi Bandner definitely knows Rav Moshe Feinstein's psak, but he said nowadays he says pizza is a meal food, and that's why he also agreed with those that say pizza is hamotzi. Sorry? Garlic nuts, I didn't ask him about garlic.
Bottom
nuts.
Line for cinnamon bread.
So wait a second. So the bottom line for cinnamon bread is there's no bottom line. So I asked Rabbi Sachs, about the cinnamon bread. Those of you who were here a few minutes ago heard what Rabbi Sachs said about the cinnamon bread. After the shiur is over, Bez Hashem, and the MP3 is not recording anymore, I'll tell you what Rabbi Sachs said about the cinnamon bread. I see someone whispering to somebody else. And so that I'm not going to put on recording, but it's not a secret. He didn't tell me. I'm not allowed to tell anybody. This morning, I saw Rabbi Luban at a bris. I did a bris in Edison, and Rabbi Luban works for the OU, of course. And I asked him that after the bris, everybody was saying Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov, and I went over to Rabbi Luban and I'm like, hey, what bracha is raps? And so So I said, I'm trying to get through Ryabelsky. He's like, you're not going to get through Ryabelsky. He says, he only comes in on Thursdays, and I could try to ask him on Thursday. So I said, I give a shiur on Tuesday mornings at 9:15. He's like, you're going to be in Passaic at 9:15? I said, with Hashem's help, I'll make it back. I had some traffic on the turnpike, but I pulled up here at 9:13. So Baruch Hashem, I made it back in time. And he told me, he said he could try to call somebody to find out what Ryabelsky says about raps. Because what we said last week was that I looked on the OU website, and it said something that it seems as if Ryabelsky would say Hamotzi, but there was no pictures or anything like that.
Right.
So Rabbi Luban took my number, and while I was sitting in traffic on the turnpike, he called me at 10 to 9, and I owe him big yashar koach. He spoke to somebody and said that knows Rabbi Belsky's shita, and he said that I didn't tell him what Rabbi Yasha says, but he says that Rabbi Belsky says the following. He says if you eat it with other food, with a tuna wrap, an egg salad wrap, then he says Rabbi Belsky holds it is hamotzi, which is what we said from Rabbi Belsky, that he seems to hold that wraps are hamotzi. He said if you eat it plain, then he said that if you eat it plain, it's just a mezonos. He says, but if you eat it with a wrap, that makes it into a suda. And he said, I would love to speak to Rabbi Belsky directly. Talking about the wraps. You know what I'm referring to? Those that circles. And you wrap up, you put in tuna or egg salad or perhaps some type of some salami or bologna, something like that. And that, it's not so much is it a meal. The question is the wrap alone a meal food? So Rabbi Belsky seems to hold. I'll speak to Gerstein, thank you. I did his bris a long time ago. It was a few years ago already. I don't remember. Gerstein, so he was the one who Rabbi Luban called, and he lives in Manhattan, and I want to speak to him personally, but that's what Rabbi Luban told me Rabbi Belsky holds. So it comes down to it, I'm not really giving you a straight answer about wraps, and I'm not really giving you a straight answer about cinnamon bread, and I don't feel bad, because there seems like there isn't a really straight answer. Wraps, it seems to be a big machlokas. If you have access to bread, the best would be to make a hamotzi on bread, eat a kazayis from a piece of bread, and then you're good to go. I understand, not always is that possible, but it seems to be a machlokas about that. The cinnamon bread, Bez Hashem, we'll talk about later.
Yeah. The pizza.
Right, so that's what we discussed at length last week, that it's not true. Right, right. That's what we said last week. I told Rabbi Sachs that I wouldn't come out so stark like that, but I can't control myself. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, definitely. Your kids should wash on one bite of pizza. Because pizza is nowadays a meal food. When Moshe Feinstein said that pizza was a snack food, that was when there was no seats in the pizza shop. It was made to eat as a snack. Now you understand that pizza is a meal food. Well, you go take a poll. What pizza? Is it a meal food or a snack food? So it's a meal food. So even if a person eats it as a snack, it's still hamotzi. That's the halacha the Mishnah Berurah says. That's the general rule.
I don't know what to do.
You were waiting before?
Yes. Two things. So Rabbi Yashua would hold that all kinds of wraps?
Correct. Yes.
Okay, unless if you said the chewy versus the non-chewy.
Right. So that's what
it is. The ones that you could eat by yourself are hamotzi, but that's the opposite.
Right. So exactly. But although on the OU website, that's what they said from Rabbi Belsky. So that's what Eli told me. Rabbi Luban spoke to Eli, and he said it's different than what we said last week in the name of Rabbi Belsky. That's why I want to speak somehow to Rabbi Belsky himself and see, you know, maybe they should change what it says on the OU website. Maybe I'm misunderstanding something. You know, so it could be that probably I'm making the mistake. At least, yeah.
If a rap is, let's say, that person, the country, that culture's bread. You know, for example,
it could be. Then that country, so then that will be hamotzi.
In other words,
then for sure.
It's all blown up.
So then that will be hamotzi for sure. But that's not like that in America.
I had a wrap last night as dinner. With
A
lot of stuff.
So
I made
whatever.
Hamotzi, right?
Okay, they're good. Kontra Bolsky, that's great.
Think about a lot.
What should I do?
I don't think Rabbi Yashav ever goes out for falafel, but that's very thicker. That's much thicker. That's not similar to a wrap. Rabbi Yashav is saying that it doesn't have a Teresa Dinama because it's very, very thin. The lafas are not like that. The lafas are definitely not like that.
He said that if you eat enough of pretzels, that you would have to bet.
Because those have a Teresa Dinama.
That's
right.
Why is that?
Because that is somewhat thick. It's also baked. Like we said last week, it's not just simply, it doesn't only, regular pretzels. I go buy a bag of pretzels and I eat an entire bag of pretzels. I have to wash with hamotzi and until sedaim and brichas amazon. If I eat that amount.
But if you didn't intend to and you just ended up finishing.
Okay, so that we spoke in the middle. That's what you asked also. You would still bench because overall that's what you ate.
But,
okay, let's move on. It's not only dependent on the flat, it's also depending on cooking and baking. Fine. Those are just to wrap up. I couldn't wrap up what we spoke about last week. Let's finish the halachos of mezonos, and Bez Hashem we'll move on to other halachos. Two things we still need to discuss, which are granola. Granola we touched upon. We touched upon granola, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago. Just to clarify again, granola is what we call, it's wheat, barley, rye, spelt, or oats, and it grows from the ground. So it grows from the ground, technically it should be hadama. However, all mezonos and hamotzi foods grow from the ground. Why does it turn into a bracha that is more chashev, that is either mezonos for a snack type of food and hamotzi for a meal type of food? Because it is baked. And because it is baked, Chazal tell us that that's what makes it more important, makes it more of a substantial food, a satiating type of food, and it's either mezonos or hamotzi. Mm-hmm. Granola is steam puffed, meaning they apply heat and they put the kernels straight into some area where it's able to be steam puffed, and it's puffed by itself. That's why granola is hadama. If you buy, I know they sell it in Costco and different places, those oats and honey, the green bars, the packages are green and it comes two in a package, those are hadama. Now those are hadama, and as far as how much a kazayas is, I know Rabbi Banu Seif, he says one bar plus a little bit is a kazayas. If you eat both of those two bars, that's a kazayas. You make a bracha achreina, which we'll discuss in a moment. So those are hadama. I called the Quaker, thank you, the chewy granola bars. Did we discuss this already?
No,
this is in class. So the chewy granola bars, I called them up and they said that those are baked first. Those are baked. So it would seem as if the chewy ones, the OUD, those are mezonos. I asked the lady on the phone if that's why it's chewy and the other ones are not, because the other ones are not baked, and these, maybe she didn't know. She didn't know if that's why it's chewy as opposed to the other ones, but those, the OUD ones, the Quaker ones, the Nature Valley, whatever, not the Nature Valley, Nature Valley are the hard ones, those are hadama, and the chewy ones, right, those should be mezonos. As far as the bracha achrona on granola, it's a big problem with the bracha achrona on granola. The Mishnah Berurah discusses this. And the question is, should the bracha achrona be borei nefashos? Because we said that it's hadama, so perhaps it's a borei nefashos. Perhaps it's an alamichya, because after all, it is wheat, barley, rye, spelt, or oats. But and it's made a little bit more chashiv, not so more chashiv, that's why it remains hadama, but it's a little bit more chashiv, so maybe it requires an alamichya, but maybe it requires an al-hadama, which there is no such bracha achrona as an al-hadama. So we're not going to make up a new bracha achrona just for steam-puffed grains. So it's a big discussion. The Mishnah Berurah comes out, he's not sure which bracha achrona should be made on granola bars. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says that a person should preferably not eat granola bars unless they wash. So when you wash, which we'll discuss these halachos separately, Bez Hashem, hopefully next time maybe, in two classes, if a person washes, then any other food, as far as a dessert food, you have to make a new bracha on that. We'll discuss when we discuss the halachos of desserts. But bracha achrona, you don't have to. You all know that. You don't make a separate bracha achrona on your dessert. The benching covers everything. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. You should only eat granola bars in the middle of a meal if you wash first.
What about if you eat some other foods, like one that's...
So that's not going to help. Very good. But the Kaf Chaim says that's not going to help because since we have a tzad, maybe it's al-hadama, and there is no bracha achrona al adamas. So even if I have a kazayis of a borei nefashos food and a kazayis of an alamichya food, I still don't cover all my bases because maybe it requires a totally different bracha achrona. The bracha rishona is not a problem. It's adama. But the bracha achrona is where we have a doubt. And there's some type of other bracha achrona that maybe it requires, so eating other foods would not help. However, I'm not going to tell you to do that, and I don't tell my students to do that, but for myself, it's too much sugar. But if you do eat granola bars, for sure, your kids, you don't have to stop them. And you could eat it, don't worry about it. Like I told somebody else once on the phone, if you're going to be choosing chumras, you know, when you're in a very spiritual mood and you want to take upon yourself some chumras, not eating granola bars are not the chumra that I would suggest you to choose. You want to eat granola bars, gezuntahed, you could go eat granola bars, you make hadama, and the Mishnah Berurah says, if you do eat it, you should make a borei nefashos. It's not clear that that's the bracha achrona, but if you do eat granola bars, the bracha achrona is borei nefashos, because after all, you're making hadama, and that's the most general bracha achrona. That's what you should do. You want to not eat it, or you want to eat it only after you wash, fine, but that is what a person does if they eat granola bars, they make hadama, and a borei nefashos.
Granola.
So granola cereals will be the same as far as sugar golden crisp and puffed wheat. That's a discussion that Moshe Feinstein himself says, you can make hadama, you can make a shakal on that. Generally speaking, I think I have a list, I think from the Star K, that you make hadama on those cereals, sugar golden crisp,
because
and puffed wheat. Not all cereals, they're puffed,
sugar puffed
wheat. So they're not baked. So therefore, it wouldn't require mezonos. That would be a hadama.
How about like spelt cakes and puffed wheat cakes and all that stuff?
It depends if it's cooked. Spelt is one of the five grains. It depends if it's baked or not.
No, like rice cakes, but they're made from spelt or wheat.
So we're gonna get to rice cakes in a second. But they're made from wheat. I would imagine those would be mizonos. Those were. It depends. You know, it depends if it was baked. Maybe you'd have to call up the company.
I mean, granola bars and granola cereal. The oats in it, I think sometimes it's just raw oats. Like the same thing you'd find. Like if you took a recipe and you wanted to make your own granola, it's just raw oats.
So those would be hadamah. So they grow from the ground, right? They grow from the ground. They're hadamah, and they're not made into something more chashuv, so they don't become a mizonos, or for sure a hamotzi.
When you cook oats.
So if you would go ahead and cook and bake them, so then yeah, it would turn into mizonos. If it's
a
snack type of
granola, you're baking.
You're baking them, then it would turn into mizonos. If you bake it, I'd imagine it would turn into mizonos.
You take it and you put like a whole recipe, but not with honey.
I would imagine though, if you bake it, I would imagine that would turn into mizonos. I don't see why not. It's one of the five grains. It's baked.
So Nature Valley, they don't bake those?
They don't bake it. It's steam puffed. You can look around at Banner Safe and the Kazayas.
Not the bar. Not the
oats and honey. You know those green bars.
The green bars, Nature Valley, the green bars. Those are not baked.
They're not baked.
Yeah. How do they get them into those?
How do they what?
A machine.
The machine they put, and also the lot of honey. The honey is what makes them stick together. The honey.
But the
those seem to be mizonos. They're alamich, they're not rice. We're going to discuss rice right now.
Like you add hot water to oatmeal, is that considered baking it, or is that considered...
It's not baking it, maybe it's cooking it, but those are usually pre-cooked. We discussed that as far as lush. I was with Miss Nabati also, and also as far as Bishel. We said Bishel's not a problem because in Bishel Lach of Bishel, we're discussing our A-class and Bishel, but I imagine those would be mizonos. Those are already probably pre-cooked or pre-baked in the factory anyways. If you could just add hot water to it and that makes it edible, I'd imagine it's pre-cooked.
Pre-cooked would also make it mizonos?
If it's cooked or baked, yeah, cooked or baked.
Or baked makes it a mizonos?
Yeah, yeah. It may not be a Teresa Dinama, but it will be a mizonos.
The steam puff thing is obviously different.
Right, it's not cooking and baking. Right,
so it's either one.
As far as rice, we all know that rice is not one of the five grains. It's not wheat, barley, rye, spelt, or oats. However, even though it's not from the five grains, still it is mizonos. And the reason is that since it's a satiating staple type of food, you could just ask the billion of Chinese people that it's a staple satiating type of food, and therefore it's become more chashev. It's not as chashev, it's not as important as the five grains, so therefore we have somewhat of a compromise, and rice is mizonos, but the bracha achrona is not al hamechya, it is only a borei nefashos. Now, there's many discussions as far as, and I'm not going to get into the details as far as the process that's done in the factory, the milling. We assume generally that rice is mizonos. We're going to leave out all the details. Brown rice is a huge machlokes. I know Rabbi Banner says from the Sefer Vezosa Bracha, which is a fantastic sefer, on Hilchos Brachos, it's in Hebrew, he says that brown rice is also mizonos, even because he says it is milled a little bit, even though it's still brown, but it is milled a little bit. I know in Rabbi Four Sefer, he says brown rice is hadama. But I would say you can make mizonos on brown rice. He says that the Vezosa Bracha spoke to the experts, and it says it's also milled. I'm not getting into the details why milling is what makes the mill means that you take off the chaff and you take off all the healthy stuff. So we're going to leave out the details why that's the case, but it seems as if brown rice should also be mizonos. There's a big discussion about rice cakes. There are those that say it's mizonos, there are those that say it's hadama. I would tell you to make hadama. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Orbach says that it's hadama, and even Rabbi Yashiv that says that it's mizonos, but he wasn't 100% sure that it's mizonos. He says probably it's mizonos. He was like leaning towards mizonos. So I don't know, Banner Sefer also, I looked up, he talks about rice cakes, and it seems as if that you should make a hadama on the rice cakes, because when you have a hadama and a mizonos, hadama works for mizonos b'di'evit. If I go over to a pretzel by mistake, I make a hadama, so b'di'evit that works, you don't have to make a new bracha. So here you have a shaila between rice cakes and by rice cakes as far as hadama and mizonos. So fine, you make a hadama on the rice cakes. Again, it grows from the ground, but again, it all depends on the milling process, if it's Maisekdera or not. Details we're not I'm not going to confuse you with. So if you make a mizonos on rice cakes, I guess it's also okay, but preferably I will tell you to make a hadama on rice cakes. And all cereals that come from rice krispies, cocoa pebbles, fruity pebbles, those are rice. Those are the same as rice. If you make a mizonos on rice, so you make a mizonos on those cereals as well. Just one last thing as far as rice, which you need to mention, is that You may be aware, maybe some of your husbands do this, that not everybody makes only a mizonos on rice. There are those that are makbid. I try to do this bli neder, that whenever a person eats rice, they have other foods and they make brachos on other foods. Some people are makbid to have a mizonos and a hadama, and then they go ahead and eat the rice. Some people are makbid to have a mizonos and a shahakal. I try to be makbid to have a mizonos, a hadama, and a shahakal. And I always take a cookie from the cabinet. All you need is one crouton. We spoke about those halachas to make a bracha rishono. All you need is one tiny morsel. So I take one crouton from mizonos. Usually if my wife is serving rice for supper, there's usually probably like a salad, which is hadama, and chicken with shahakal. So the hadama and shahakal are very easy for me to find. There's always some type of cookies or croutons in the cabinet. Where does that all come from? You ever see that? You ever see people do that? Makbid about that? No? Okay, I'm the only one? Okay. But where it comes from is the following. That which we keep on saying, that rice is mizonos. And when you leave today, you should make a mizonos on rice. That's all you have to do. But that's assuming that rice is orez. In modern Hebrew, those of you who have ever lived in Eretz Yisrael, you know orez is rice. Aleph, Vav, Resh, Zayin. Everything we talk about rice, that is orez. Not everybody holds that this rice that we know of is really orez. There are those that say that that's not orez, that's dochen. Dalet, Vav, Ches, Nun. And the bracha on dochen is not so clear. They say orez is really millet. Millet, if those of you know what millet is, I don't, but it's another type of grain that's similar to rice. But they say that really the rice that we know of is really not orez, it's dochen. And the bracha on dochen is perhaps hadama, perhaps it's shahakal. So therefore, to cover all the grounds, so there are those that are makbid. I saw in one sefer say that, yeah, you're supposed to make a mizonos and a hadama, and if you want, you can make a shahakal also. And another sefer I saw that if you want, you mizonos and shahakal, and if you want, you make hadama. So if you find somebody having a suffix and making other brachos and then going ahead to eat the rice, that's where it comes from, because it's not 100% sure that orez is really rice. But definitely, you and your family, you can make a mizonos on rice, and the bracha achrona is a barei nefashos.
Would you just tell me why like rice cakes would be a hadama?
Yeah.
But that, I don't understand. It's rice.
It's possible that to make the rice into a mizonos, which again, we're saying rice is mizonos, it has to be what's called a maisa kadeira, a cooked dish. Now the question is, what makes something a cooked dish? So Chazal say that it has to be milled, has to be the shaft, the outer shell is removed, and that it has to be stuck together. Has to be stuck together. So a lot of the rice, you'll notice when you cook rice, it sticks together. So that's why it turns into mizonos, and it's white rice, so it's milled. The shaft is taken off. Brown rice, well, that's the question. That's what they're saying, that the experts say that even by brown rice, some of the shaft is removed in the cooking process, in the baking process. Okay. Some of the shell falls off, and it sticks together also. So that's why it's a maisik tera. Uh-huh. Question is, rice cakes, why is this stuck together? Is it stuck together because that is a maisa kedera and it's natural to stick together, right? Or is it just stuck together because that's what they do in the factory? They make some other ways to make it stick together. So is that a maisa kedera or not? So that's the machlokas. And it seems like Rabbi Yashiv wasn't 100% sure himself. He wasn't sure mizonos or hadama. So therefore, when you have a suffix, you have a doubt between hadama and mizonos, you'll make a hadama. Right, exactly. That's in a small nutshell. Fine. That finishes once and for all, Baruch Hashem, the halachas of mizonos. What we're going to discuss for the rest of today's shir is halachas that you and I were once discussing on a Friday night in the Agudah. If you remember that, you asked me that question. So now we're going to discuss, since we only have 17 minutes left, we're going to take a small topic of bracha she'ina tzricha and bracha levatala. Okay. What is a bracha she'ina tzricha and what is a bracha levatala? And to make sure not to confuse the two, we'll start with a bracha levatala. Bracha levatala means a bracha in vain. Totally a bracha for absolutely no reason. And an example of a bracha levatala is if right now I'm not eating anything and I would just get up and say a bracha, baruch atah Hashem, alkeinu melech haolam, berei pri ha'etz, in the middle of nowhere. And that, most poskim assume, that is a bracha levatala. There's a discussion, is a bracha levatala forbidden on a deraisa level? Is it also mid-deraisa, or is it just a very, very strict derabanan? But that is for sure the worst. A bracha levatala is a terrible avera. You are utilizing Hashem's name in vain for absolutely no reason. You're getting up and you're saying a bracha for no reason. Let's say someone gets up and says Asher Yatzar. They didn't just use the bathroom. So that's another example of a bracha levatala. If a person would say a bracha for absolutely no reason, that is a bracha levatala. Not to be confused with saying Hashem's name. A person just stomp gets up and says Hashem's name, that's not a bracha levatala. That's Hashem's name in vain also, but that's not a bracha. A bracha levatala is, you say a bracha, but the bracha had absolutely no reason. It's showing disregard for the kedusha of Hashem's name. That is a very strict avera.
Is that different than not remembering if you said Asher Yatzar and saying it and then realizing?
So that is a suffix bracha levatala.
It's a suffix.
No, but if you realize you really said it already.
No, meaning like you don't remember saying it, you said it.
Right.
And then like even later, like you're just like, oh my gosh, I think I did say it. You know, whatever. But I'm saying
so then you're not sure. If
that would have been a bracha levatala.
That would have been a bracha levatala. You said Asher Yatzar and then you go on and say another one.
It to be like a late.
So that's a bracha levatala by mistake. There's a big difference between doing an aver on purpose and doing an aver by mistake. But if yes, if you make.
Right.
But yeah, exactly. Sorry? Right. If you have doubt whether you said Asher Yatzar, right, you don't repeat it. That is a bracha levatala. Not to be confused with a bracha she'ena tzricha. A bracha she'ena tzricha means a bracha that wasn't necessary. Which means, which we're going to give a few examples about this, that means that it wasn't for absolutely no reason, but I could have avoided making this bracha. And we'll give examples to show the difference. But it wasn't on nothing. I took a bite of my apple. But that... It was a type of thing which could have been avoided. I could have made it that I didn't need a bracha, and that is a bracha she'ena tzricha. We already said an example of bracha she'ena tzricha when we learned ikar v'tafel. Anybody remember? We said that we have an ikar v'tafel, so we had two classes on ikar v'tafel, and we said that you only make a bracha on the ikar. Sorry, very good, exactly. You have the ikar, and then you only make the bracha on the ikar, not the tafel. So I have a cherry pie. We said the bracha is only mezonos on a cherry pie because the crust is there for taste. You make only mezonos. Let's say I go first to the cherry filling, and if I eat the cherry filling first, we said you have to make a bracha, right? Because it's not that the tafel doesn't need a bracha, really it does need a bracha, it's just that the bracha, the ikar, covers the tafel. Remember? Okay, it's on the test, don't worry. So we said you have to make a bracha, but we said that you should preferably not eat the tafel before the ikar. Why? Because that's a bracha she'ena tzricha. It's not a bracha levatala, because I make, let's say, ha'etz on the cherry filling, and I eat the cherry filling, so it's not a bracha levatala, but... Right, but if I eat it first, I didn't make a mezonos on the crust. So I have to make the proper bracha. We said maybe it's a shahakal, even we said it was a machlokas. But if you make the bracha, it's necessary. But it was a bracha that could have been avoided. I could have just eaten the ikar first and avoid making a bracha on the tafel whatsoever. That is a bracha she'ena tzricha. It's not as strict as a bracha levatala, but that is also not allowed. It's asa midirabanan. That is one example of a bracha she'ena tzricha. Another example of a bracha she'ena tzricha, which is what you and I were talking about. Let's say I make kiddush Friday night. We go into the kitchen. Now it's time to wash. We're about to start the suda. And I think we discussed this in the summer at one point. And I come into the kitchen and everyone's getting ready to wash. And I see a salad on the counter that my wife is making. Or I see a bowl of pickles or something like that, and I go pick from the salad. Mm-hmm. So I didn't wash yet, so of course I'm a good Jew, I'm going to make a hadama. That is a bracha she'ena tzricha. I'm about to wash. Mm-hmm. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that it doesn't depend on minutes. If you're going to wash in 2 minutes, then it's a bracha she'ena. It doesn't depend on minutes, but the table is set, we're getting ready to wash, we're about to go ahead and wash, and now I go make a bracha on something else that would not have needed a bracha if I would have washed first. The salad is being served during the meal. That is a bracha she'ena tzricha. If you eat the salad without a bracha, then you ate without a bracha at all. So I once saw somebody pick from the salad. I said, hey, that's a bracha she'ena tzricha. He said, oh, I didn't make a bracha. I'm like, okay, that's also not good. You know. So of course it needs a bracha, but it's a bracha that could have been avoided. If you have bread in the toaster oven, and you're also having, let's say, I don't know, a coffee, or you're also having some other type of food, and you're just impatient, and you want to eat something before the toast is ready, before the bread is ready, that is a bracha she'ena tzricha. Even though it's going to be in the toaster oven for another few minutes, but you have to wait. Since the toast is there, I'd imagine that is also an example of a bracha she'ena tzricha. You're getting ready to eat, and therefore that should be avoided. You could have avoided the bracha. It's not a bracha levatala, but that is another example, I would think, of a bracha she'ena tzricha. One more case, and then I'll take some questions, because I think this is all your question, which I was discussing with you. Let's say you're at a restaurant, and you're sitting at the table, and they serve pickles and coleslaw, right, let's say. Or they serve some type of chips. I know in Dougie's they have like these chips. So if they serve you bread, it's fine. That's hamotzi. But let's say you ordered something from the waiter, the waitress, and you ordered something hamotzi, and you don't know when the food's going to come. You hope it's going to come soon, but for some reason, you know, it always takes a long time to get the sandwich. I don't know if it's just a sandwich. It's just like put the food in there and go. But for some reason, it takes a long time. And you're waiting for the food to come. Meanwhile, the pickles and the coleslaw are staring you in the face. And you want to eat it. Is that a bracha she'ena tzricha or not? Now, a lot of times, they'll have by the washing sink, they'll have like a little bowl of pieces of hamotzi. Great. Then you could do that. We said hamotzi, all you need is a tiny piece. You make a hamotzi, take a tiny piece of bread, and then you can eat the pickles and coleslaw, and then we said for Moshe Feinstein, even if you eat the kezayis of bread, kedei chilas pras, later, we said already that that's okay. And then eventually when your sandwich comes, then you'll continue eating the hamotzi then. But a lot of times they don't have the hamotzi by the washing sink. Is eating that pickles and coleslaw bracha she'ena tzricha? I had a big fight about this once with a friend of mine at a restaurant when I was a bacher. We went out to eat. I don't know, you know, it's not up to you when the hamotzi is going to come. You hope it comes soon, but it may not come for a while. It's not up to you. It's like, it's in the kitchen, and it's not in front of you. It's not up to you. On the other hand, you ordered it already, and it's on the way, and it's coming soon, and I don't know. It should be avoided. Maybe ask the waiter or the waitress. Can I please have a piece of bread? If there's nothing by the sink, the best. Usually, they should be able to understand, even if the waiter or the waitress is not a Jew, and they don't... You ask for a piece of bread, you just want to wash, they'll understand, especially in a kosher restaurant, they should understand these halachos. That, I think, is up for grabs. Is that a bracha she'ena tzricha or not? But the best will be to try to avoid it. I don't remember, I think you were first. Yeah.
Why is it bad to be making a tzricha?
Because that shows a disregard for Hashem's name. I'm just flippantly using, I'll use Hashem's name here, and then I'll use Hashem's name here. I could.
I want to be able to say as many brachos as I can.
So if I wasn't going to eat, right? You know the story. My father has a story in one of his books about the apple with the boy and the Chassidish Rebbe that I eat the apple to make a bracha, and you make a bracha to eat the apple. That's not a bracha she'ena tzricha because I wasn't eating anything. But now I'm going to go ahead and eat the apple. If I want to eat the apple, I have to make a bracha. So now I want him to go ahead to eat the apple in order so I can be able to praise Hashem. Here, I'm making a bracha, or I'm going to make a bracha, but the bracha could have been avoided. I could have accomplished it all with one usage of Hashem's name. We use Hashem's name only when we have specific permission to do it. To increase extra usages of Hashem's name when it wasn't necessary, that's showing disregard for the Kedusha of Hashem's name, and you're adding to it. So a person needs to be very careful in regards to bracha she'ena tzricha. I am specifically allowed to go over, maybe not for water, but for any food, I want to be able to make a bracha. Let's say I want to get 100 brachos, big machlokas, whether women are obligated to make 100 brachos or not a day. But let's say a person wants to do mea brachos, that's not a bracha she'ena tzricha, because I'm going to eat a food now. I want to eat the food, even if I'm not so hungry, but I want to eat it just for the purpose of the bracha, that's allowed. But the Magen Avraham says explicitly that for the purpose of getting 100 brachos a day, you're not allowed to cause a bracha she'ena tzricha. You're not allowed to purposely eat the tuffel first or purposely eat something before I go ahead and wash, because that's a bracha that could have been avoided.
Why is that different than, let's say, what you said you do at supper, like you go and you say a bracha?
Very different, because here, there's a suffix as far as what the bracha on rice is. Maybe
you're saying if you only do that when you're having rice?
Yeah. Of course.
Right. Actually, you're saying that some people, like when they sit down to a meal, they like to say it.
No. I'm sorry if I wasn't clear. I wasn't clear about that. Only by rice specifically. Rice, since it's a machlokas, exactly, it is a shiloh, what exactly bracha rice is. So to cover our grounds, you eat other foods. And that you're allowed to do. For sure, if there's somewhat of a suffix, of a doubt, you're allowed to do that. The place can say explicitly, I think even the Mishnah Berurah says that if there's any, to cover any grounds of a suffix whatsoever, that's not a bracha she'ena tzricha. But to avoid using the extra usages of Hashem's name, that's something someone needs to be careful about. But that's the difference. So just stop to go ahead and eat something, you're allowed to, even if you need to make a bracha on that. But if I could have accomplished it with one bracha, and instead now I make two because of that, because I just want to use it extra, that has to be avoided. You're not allowed to even say amen to a bracha she'ena tzricha. If you see somebody else make a bracha she'ena tzricha, you're not allowed to say amen. Still a few other halachas, yeah.
With the bread and the toaster, let's say you're running, does water count? Should you just wash?
For what? What do you mean?
Like to make a shahakol with the bread and the toaster? You shouldn't do that.
Yeah, you shouldn't. Yeah, you
should. Just
right.
Wash.
Any food that you would not need to make a bracha, if you would eat it afterwards, then it's not allowed. Unless the bread is going to be in a few minutes and you're so thirsty right now, so you know, you need it right now, you want it specifically you want it before the bread because you're so thirsty, yeah, then maybe that wouldn't be a bracha she'ena tzricha.
Maybe you have to make a bread of five.
So that we still have to discuss. That we have to discuss. We're going to get there in a second. Yeah.
It's similar to what she said. I always wondered after a fast day. So you
The
great example. You're going to have hamotzi to break your fast, but people like to have ragaloch or Danish or coffee or orange juice, a drink. Preferably to have the hamotzi first. If you really feel like you can't wait and you need to have the drink now, yeah, quite possibly that's not a bracha shen.
The fact that you might want one more than the other is not no gaya.
The fact that you want one more than the other, I don't think that's good enough. See, if your mom is, if someone fasted the whole day and you're really so thirsty and you can't wait till after you wash, then maybe, yeah, perhaps. I'd have to look into that, see exactly how the place can bring it. But
yeah,
the best will be to wash first. And again, it's not a problem. A lot of times, I if I'm putting something in the toaster for breakfast and I'm also having a drink, so I just make hamotzi. There's a whole loaf of bread. I take a tiny, tiny piece of bread, or open the toaster and take a tiny piece of bread out, and I have my hamotzi. And then I eat other foods. And then when it's ready, I go ahead and eat it. Yeah.
Is there a question with that, in the scenario that you were describing, what you're saying now, and also with the restaurant in particular comes to mind, that if you take that one little bite of hamotzi, isn't there an Indian that when you eat hamotzi, it has to be, you eat a kazayas, or you eat
right
within 9 minutes?
Exactly. Well, we said 3 or 4 minutes, but Rav Moshe Feinstein says that it doesn't have to be within the first 3 or 4 minutes. As long as at any point during your meal, as long as you had a kazayas of bread within a 3 or 4 minute interval, it doesn't have to be the first 3 or 4 minutes after you make your washing and hamotzi. It could be even later. There are those that are makbid to have it in the beginning specifically, but it can be later. In this situation, for sure, I will tell you to do that. You have a little piece of bread by the washing sink, and that's good enough for you to go ahead to eat the pickles and the coleslaw, whatever it is, and then you go eat the rest. Yeah.
I've been to people on Shabbos where they make kiddush, and then they make like a little kiddush, like they have
pickle and very good. So the Bir Halacha discusses that. A lot of people do that. They were Hasidish, those people?
No.
No. So it is a Hasidish meaning. What a lot of people do, is she's referring to, is people make kiddush Shabbos morning, and then they're about to go wash, but they have mizonos before they go wash. I'm not talking about where you're not washing right now. You're going to wash in a half hour. That, of course, is not a problem. I just want to be Yotze Kiddush Makom Suda, and that's allowed. But there are many people that do that right before they go ahead and wash, and the Bir Halacha discusses, why is that not a Bracha Sheina Tzricha? There are those that say, the Bir Halacha tries to be matzdik them, and he says that since on Shabbos that's normal to do, and that's part of the meal already, so since that's part of the meal, then we say that's not a Bracha Sheina Tzricha. He spends a good number of lines in the Bir Halacha to try to answer up why people do that. If that's not your custom, it should preferably be avoided.
Would those people make an alamecher, or would they just wait to bend?
So that we still have to discuss. I want to get to that. Yeah.
We said a while back, like, you should try and have in mind when you make a bracha that it's going to cover whatever
foods I want
to do. But a lot of times, it doesn't work that way. Like,
okay, 100%.
Do you make another bracha then? Is that a bracha she'ina tzricha, or do I...
If you didn't know that you were going to have another drink, then that's not a bracha shein etzricha. Probably not a bracha shein etzricha.
Like, you make a bracha ha'ein
apple. Right, you would need another one. Right.
You realize,
I'm still hungry, I want... Yeah, so if you didn't realize, that's not a bracha shein etzricha. Two more halachas. There's another type of a bracha shein etzricha, and that is the following. Let's say, we'll give an example of Shabbos, but this is true the entire week as well. I have a meal, I washed, and I benched, and then I see, whoops, there's still soda in my cup. There's still juice and still water in my cup. So I go right ahead, I make a shahakal, and I drink the drink that's left over in my glass. On purpose, for sure, that should not be done. Because that's what we call goreim. It caused a bracha shein etzricha. Because if you would have drank that before you benched, and you wouldn't have needed a bracha on that. You benched first, and then you needed another bracha. That should also be avoided. My kids know, if after we bench, we notice, oh, there's still drink left in the glass, so I'm not going to spill it out. Why would you do the baltashas? You wait a certain amount of time. How many minutes? It's hard to know exactly. Maybe 5, maybe 3, maybe 7. You wait, and then you go ahead, you would make another shahakal. I'm not going to tell you to take a walk around the block. That's what a lot of people do when you have to wash back-to-back. You know, Erev Pesach, you have to wash back-to-back. So you don't want to be a bracha shein etzricha. So you bench, and then you wash again. Some people go for a walk around the block. That's all to avoid a bracha shein etzricha. If you benched, don't eat again within the next few minutes. Preferably to wait a few more minutes. If you make a shina makam, you go outside. That's great. But also not to make another bracha right after you bench. One last halacha, which you're all asking, and this halacha I'm about to say is a very, very complicated halacha, many different conditions, but we're going to just keep it very, very simple, and this is what I do in class as well. We keep it very, very simple. And where you asked, and you asked, or other people asked as well. Let's say I'm eating something, and I have a kazayas of food, whether it's mezonos food, hadama, ha'etz, shahakal, whatever it is, and then I decide, and I have a kezayis, so I need the bracha achrona, but then I decide, you know what, I want to wash. I want to go ahead and wash. So of course I have to wash. Hamotzi, I didn't make a hamotzi yet. Do I first make a bracha achrona on what I ate? Or do I say, no, let me just go wash, and then when I bench on the bread, that will cover what I ate before as well. It's a very, very complicated halachas, many different situations. What comes out is that almost always you're going to have to make a bracha achrona. There's like one situation where it comes out lahalacha where you would not make a bracha achrona, but almost always you need to make a bracha achrona first on what you ate, whether it's a bar nefashos or an ala michya, whatever the food was, if you had a kezayis, of course. Then you go ahead and you would wash. So there's one situation where it's candy and you would have, like, it's a dessert type of food and you did it on purpose and you knew you were going to continue eating it after you washed. Not a very common situation, because we already told you that you should preferably you should not be eating on purpose any food before you wash. It's only if you, it's a very rare situation. Generally speaking, if you eat something and you had a kezayis that requires a bracha achrona, and then you decide, you know what, let me go ahead and wash, you make the bracha achrona and then you go ahead and wash. Okay, Bez Hashem, next time we'll discuss the halachos of Berachas HaMazon.